produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I want to call your attention to Ephesians chapter 4, and this being our church anniversary month, I want to center my messages around church growth and maturity in the spirit this month. Amen. I want to aim high, strike fire, and sit down. Amen, somebody. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Father, it is again that you've allowed us to preach, not for fame nor for reputation, but Lord, we ask now that you would hide me behind the cross so that men will see you and not me, Father God. I don't need a spotlight, God. I don't need, Father God, no fame. But Lord, I need you to speak to me and through me now. I need you to open up the hearts of your people. Open up their minds, Father God, so that they can receive what you would have for them to receive. Father God, we don't take it lightly that we are here in your house. Matter of fact, we are privileged because we are here and we get an opportunity to come to your house and praise and worship you. And so, Lord God, while we are here, we ask that you would speak audibly to our hearts. And then, Lord, as you are knocking at the door of our hearts, like you said in the book of Revelations, we ask that you would allow us to open the door so that we can make room for you in our lives. God, heal us where we hurt. God, Lord, God, lift up our heads. God, give us Jesus' joy and baptize us with your Holy Spirit. And we'll be grateful to give your name all praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for another privilege of preaching. Thank you for using me to be your mailman, your spokesman. And I give you praise for the anointing that you have placed on my life. God, continue to bless us individually as well as collectively and use us to thine own glory. In the name of Jesus, we do pray and ask it all. Every believer shall thank God. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. Beginning at verse number 11. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, what? fitly joined together and what? Compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the what? Measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in what?
Love.
Amen. The word of God for the people of God. I want to talk about the makeup of spiritual growth and maturity in Christ.
Yes.
Say that with me. The makeup
of spiritual growth
and maturity in Christ. Say it one more time. The makeup
of spiritual growth
and maturity in Christ. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Brothers and sisters, we find ourselves at this point of our lives as being called Christians or Christ-like beings. God's makeup and Jesus' sacrifice made us believers in God through Christ. Are y'all with me here? And in that makeup, mold, and model, we find that we are no more aliens or strangers to God, but now we are called the children of God. And anytime you have children or see the word children, first of all, that should be a humbleness of heart. And then you should always know that children soak up everything like they are sponges. And that's really how you and I are supposed to be in the body of Christ as it relates to spiritual growth and maturity in Christ. We should soak up everything that the Lord said for our lives. Do I have a witness here? We should be finding ourselves more and more apt to reading his word and studying his word and digesting his word so that we can look like the image of God that we were made in the first place. Do I have some witnesses in the room? And so God set an order to his church. God set a model and a mold to his church. And if we work that model and mold, we'll see him do miraculous things in the body of Christ. Let me tell you, as long as we're doing our own thing, he'll let you do your own thing. We have a witness here. He'll move out the way and let you try to do stuff on your own, because sometimes we get beside ourselves and we think that we are better than God himself. We'll have a witness here. Matter of fact, Matthew 16, 13 through 20 predicts the sovereign construction of the not yet church. He says, I will build my church. Now, I want you to stop right there, because I'm going to tie this all together here at the end. But let's first look at what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. He says, I personal will build my personal church. Y'all see that there? I'm not making it up. It's right there in your Bible. If you have not torn it out by now, he said, listen, I'm going to do a thing that will bless you. And if you operate in me, I'm going to bless it. Boy, I rode the short bus too. Amen. Let me see if I can make another round. In other words, if we just get in line with God and Jesus and his church and do what it is necessary in operating the way he wants us to operate, he'll send the blessing in such a way that we'll be able to be unified together. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But fast forward here to Ephesians 4, 11 and 16. He explains how the church is built up not in us, not built up in the pastor, not built up in the deacons or any ministry of the church, but it's built up in Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 exhorts the church to walk in unity. I believe back in the day, back in the early 90s, Queen Latifah put out a song that says U-N-I-T-Y, that spells unity. I know y'all didn't listen to that back then, but that was in my heyday. And so, Laurie, I used to listen to that, you know, and you did too, because we were around the same age group. And so, you know, what she was really saying was, you get farther faster when you do stuff together. And you know, I need to say this early on in this message because I don't want nobody to think pastor trying to throw no darts, because pastor don't never try to throw no darts. I preach the word of God. Y'all say amen. Amen. I don't give you no fairy tale fiction, novel, none of that. I preach the word of God. Jesus said, listen, I want you to walk in unity. He says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit in the body of what? Peace. That he want us to walk in unity. He don't want us to be divided or bickering with one another and one thinking they're better than the other because they got more degrees than a thermometer or they come from a certain family lineage. No, he said, I want y'all to be together. Because at the end of the day, God ain't studying none of that. Is my mic on? When you get to heaven, you're not going to stand before God and he's going to say, no, you came from this family. You got all these degrees. No, he don't care about none of that. What he cares about is if we are walking the way he has designed for us to walk. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Says, I want you to walk in unity. But not only that, Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6 states the grounds of unity. He said, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of us all, who is over us all and through all and in all. Do y'all see that there? And then he moves verses 7 through 10. He explains that unity does not mean uniformity. He says, but grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into a lower region, which was the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that we might feel the blessings of God. The church is one in Christ. Yet the Lord has given many different diverse gifts to the church. What are these gifts, or how does these gifts function, or what is the purpose of these gifts? I'm glad you asked, because here in Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 16, it shows us what are these gifts that we have to the church and how these gifts function and what are the purposes of these gifts. Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 16 answers these questions. It is a complex sentence that makes a simple point. Healthy churches are growing churches. Let me say that one more time. Healthy churches are growing churches. And growing does not mean swelling. Because swelling goes down. Y'all ain't talking to me yet. But growth is sustained. There is no correlation between the size and health of the church. A church can be small and strong at the same time. And on the flip side of the coin, a church can be big and weak at the same time. Church growth is not big crowds or large budgets or huge facilities. That doesn't have anything to do with church growth. But church growth, brothers and sisters, has everything to do with being Christ-like. Healthy churches grow to maturity in Christ, which means you don't just start out mature, but you have to grow to the level of spiritual maturity. Everybody don't know how to function in the Lord's church. Do I have a witness here? And so sometimes we get out of order and get off kilter because our functionality is not founded on God's foundation. Do y'all hear me here? But the New Testament uses these words to picture what the church should look like. The primary metaphor is a body. Let the church shout, a body. Now, you know, if you look at your own body, you know that you have a upper torso and a lower torso. You have one head, and if you had two heads, you'd be a monster. Amen. You got two arms. Come on, talk to me. Two hands. Two eyes, two ears, two legs. You got 2 feet. Y'all say amen. And you got fingers. You got limbs. And so in Ephesians, Paul allows us to know, Reverend Fisher, that Christ is the head of the church. Say that one more time. Christ. Don't nobody run the church but the Lord. Can I say that one more time? Don't nobody run the church but God. Christ is the head of the church. And then the church is the body of Christ, and we are members of that one body. Do I have a witness here? Now Ephesians 4 and 8 claims Psalm 68 and 18, which is the fulfillment of Christ, when he says, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now, when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, it comments on this victorious act when it says, and he gave, let the church shout, gave. Now, I think I need to teach right here because some people don't know the value of the gifts that God gave to the church. Do I have a witness here? He says, and the Lord gave, which means God thought enough about the church to give special gifts to the church to where the body can receive it and make use of that gift, but also appreciate the gift that God has given to his church. He says, listen, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, the gifts Christ has given to his people are gifted people. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 list spiritual gifts that enable us to serve. The gifts mentioned in verse 11 equips us to serve. These five terms refer to four gifts. Now, when we look at the word apostle means sent one. Apostles were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus, commissioned to proclaim the gospel and to start churches. Do y'all see that? Envoys sent out by churches were called apostles. Paul is talking about the apostles of Christ, not the church. Prophets are God's mouthpieces. They are divine oracles who spoke God's word by supernatural revelation. These folk running around here now talking about jump three times and you're going to get a check in the mail in 10 days are not prophets. Amen. Bible talks about false teachers. They prey on the weak. Amen. And those who don't study their word, and they're able to get over on people, and people be going to the mailbox, pulling the mail down, looking like something wrong with you because we don't know the word. Prophets are God's mouthpieces who bring spiritual revelation. And oftentimes when you look at the prophets of the Old Testament, they wasn't talking about snatching and grabbing. They were talking about get your house in order for you die by the hand of the Lord. Do I have a witness in the room? Ephesians 2 and 20 says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone. He holds the church together. Ephesians 3 and 5 says the mysteries of Christ were not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, when you look at apostles and prophets and then you look at evangelists, you see that evangelists were heralds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 21 and 8 calls Philip the evangelist. 2 Timothy 4 and 5 exhorts Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Paul lists evangelists as gifts to the church. They function as a part of the body life of the church. The saints need the gospel just as much as the world do. The grammar indicates that the shepherds and teachers describe one role. That is pastor, teacher. Now, when you look at the word pastor, you don't mind if I walk through the Bible, don't you? When you look at the word pastor, pastor is a Latin word which means shepherd. The primary function of a shepherd is to lead and feed the sheep. The primary function of the sheep is to follow and swallow. Are y'all listening to me? But some type of way, we have allowed those roles to be reversed. And you got sheep trying to lead and don't know how to lead. Y'all say amen. Because just because you can have a few people follow you don't mean that you are a leader. Anybody can tell some folk anything and have a little group of people following behind them. You know, that's called cliques. And we got a whole lot of cliques in the church. Y'all ain't praying with pastor this morning. Amen. The primary job, the pastor teacher, as he is a gift from God, is to nurture the church to maturity by teaching the word of God. Pastor is the overseer of everything in the church. He is the under shepherd. Christ is the head, and then right up below Christ is the pastor. He is the one who is set in place to be the spokesman of God to tell y'all what he said. I wish I had some Bible readers in here. Y'all know pastor ain't making it up. It's right in the Bible. And so verse 12 issues two big responsibilities that facilitate one great purpose. The first responsibility belongs to the pastor teacher. That is to equip the saints. Pastors are not given to do the work of the ministry. Boy, y'all got quiet. They equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. This word equip means to make fit ready or prepare. Pastors who take too much responsibility for ministry work stunts the church's growth. When the pastor is not able to be what God has called why the Bible says, muzzle not the ox. Amen. We got to understand that all of us have a position and a purpose that we must follow so that the Lord's church can be productive. Amen, somebody. Body of Christ. We have one body of Christ, and it's all for the glory of God. That's why in Ephesians 4:1, Paul urges us to walk worthy of the calling to which we have been called, and that eternal call should govern how we walk both day and night. Now, verse 13 contains three Christ exalting goals that we should strive to attain as the church. Number one, we should strive to obtain spiritual unity. There is a unity we are supposed to maintain. Now, that's according to the Lord. And then there is also a unity that we must attain if we are going to walk in Christian truth. It is a doctrinal conviction rooted here in this personal comment. Paul connects the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, which suggests that you cannot be unified in the faith if you don't know the Lord. The closer you get to Jesus, the better you'll be able to be unified with your brother and sister. Can I tell you? There is no hatred in the Lord. Amen, somebody. There is no I can't stand him or her in the Lord. Come on, talk to me now. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. While we holding on grudges to folk and all this old type of stuff, that is of Satan, that is not of God. That is a device and a trick of the enemy. When you walk around with a grudge and a chip on your shoulder about your brother or sister, you allowing the devil to use you. I just can't stand her. Just mean as a junkyard dog. I don't know. I can't stand him. He don't know what he's doing. Well, according to God, what are you doing? Because we look good on the outside, and because we done got a little education, we think that we're all of that in a bag of chips. But how would the Lord grade you if he looked at your portfolio today? Because after all, it's him giving the grade, not us. Somebody shout, help me, Holy Ghost. Says spiritual unity, but not only spiritual unity, brothers and sisters, but spiritual maturity. Let the church shout, spiritual maturity. Now, in order to be spiritually mature, you must walk with God every day of your life. You hear what I'm saying? Because spiritual maturity just don't come because you have a title in the Lord's church. Teach, Pastor Redwell. Somebody ain't saying nothing. Spiritual maturity does not just come because you show up on Sunday morning. Spiritual maturity don't show up because you're the biggest and the best tither of the church. No. Spiritual maturity is all about how you walk with God, how you wrestle with the Word of God and study the Word of God, and how you live the Word of God. See, because you can read it all day long, but it's not until it gets inside of you and you start living it till it matters. I wish I had a witness up in here. See, that's why I've learned to love people that I know talk about me. Get my mic on. You got to learn how to walk on by faith anyhow. You worrying about somebody talking about you? There's a child. They just talk about me every time. They be whispering when I walk past. Don't nobody care about that. They talked about Jesus, so you know you're going to get talked about. And just thank God they think enough of you to keep talking about you. Y'all ain't praying with me. Because if they didn't care really about you, they wouldn't say nothing about you. But because they really, really love you deep down on the inside, but don't know how to show that love, they continue to talk about you. And thank God, because talking about you is free advertisement. Yeah, now and again, you got to fall in love with persecution. Jesus said, for those who are persecuted for my name's sake, great is your reward. Let them keep on talking about it. Because the more they talk about you, the more God elevates you. Y'all ain't praying with me here. Don't you get bent out of shape. You keep on working for the Lord. And you make sure your heart is right. Amen. Listen, you can't get bent out of shape about because nobody don't like you. Listen, the reason they don't like you is because they don't like themselves. Because it's a poor saint that don't like their other saints. Amen. So you got to get to the level of spiritual maturity and make sure that, listen, when you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you do something with that knowledge. You just don't come into the knowledge and keep it all to yourself. But if you've been born again, you don't grow out, you grow up. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways. And the Lord wants the church to give up childish ways. We waste so much time on stupid stuff. And it's people dying that don't know Jesus. We need to reverse that stuff and go out and compel men, women, boys, and girls to come to Christ. And while we're inside of the house fussing and fighting and cussing and talking about and backstabbing, there's a soul that needs to be saved. Colossians 1 and 28. And I'm going to fold this book for the day. Colossians 1 and 28 says, him we proclaim, not we ourselves, warning everybody and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Church, we got to grow up. Is my mic on? I said we got to grow up. We got to get to a level where God is pleased with our everyday lives. Because at any given moment and at any given time, all of us can be called into judgment by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? None of us know when we're going to get out of here. I wish I had a witness here. And every time somebody leaves this earth, you need to take a look at yourself. You need to do a checkup from the neck up. Y'all ain't praying with Pastor. Amen. And you need to make sure that your life is pleasing unto God and God alone. You know what I've discovered? I discovered that so many times we try so hard to please other people till we miss pleasing God. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. We try to please other folk. Amen. And we have taken off the mind of Christ and we have become men pleasers because we want pats on the back. We want people to call our name. We want rewards and awards, and we want folks to know us from miles around. But it don't matter if people know you. Can I help you this morning? Lean in real close. Does God know you? Because there is a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And guess what? If your name is not in that book, you won't enter in. to be in that book. And I don't know about you, but I'm not concerned if my name is on the outside, inside, on the backside of a book. I want my name to be in his book. I'm serious when I tell you this. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to spend all these years preaching and teaching the gospel and going to church and coming to choir rehearsal and this, that, and the other, coming to different meetings and things. And then when I get up and stand before the Lord, my chest is out, and then he hit me in my chest because he say, I don't see your name in here. Who are you? And that's why every day we got to ask the Lord, Lord, grow me up so I don't miss my reward. Grow me up so that I can be spiritually mature, not in my own self, because our ways are different from the Lord's ways. I'm in Bible country. I promise your ways are different from God. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So we got to align ourselves. Come on, somebody shout, align me, Lord. We got to align ourselves with the word of God. We got to spend some time in devotion with the Lord. We got to walk worthy of our calling. And we got to make sure we be unified and love everybody no matter what. Some of us are holding grudges from ex-husbands and ex-wives, and we don't know how to shake them loose. And they done got remarried two more times. Y'all say amen. Set yourself free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Get out of your own self and get into Christ. Grow up so that he can use your life. Do you know God wants to use you? Look at somebody and say, he want to use you. He want to use you. But he's not going to use us if we got junk in the way. He's not going to use us if we got bitterness in our hearts. He's not going to bless us because he does not bless mess. Amen, somebody. You do know the devil got some stuff he can give to you, right? That look like the form of blessings. But they are not blessings. Because God's blessings last for eternity. But when Satan gives you a fictitious sense of a blessing, it only lasts for a little while. Do y'all hear me talking to you this morning? So we got to understand that God, and the doors of the church is open, God wants you and I to walk in spiritual growth and maturity. First of all, so that we can represent him the right way. Can I ask you a question this morning? How are you representing Jesus? Can people look at your life, your body language, your facial expressions, and see Jesus? Or do they see Satan? Y'all ain't talking back to me this morning. Because when people look at us, they ought to be able to see that we know the Lord. Amen. Christians do more complaining than anybody in the world. Complain because they got a rip in their sock. They complain because they done ruined their stockings. They complain because they don't know what to eat. They complain when the carpet wrong. They complain because there's a spot on the ceiling. They complain for this, that, and the other. Stop complaining so much. Learn how to live your life and be grateful for where you are.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated, cast down but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me. It's turning around.
Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me.
Around
for me.
It's turning around.
It's turning around for me.
'Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. A change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
There's no reason to doubt.
I know he's working it out. And it's turning around.
It's turning around for me.
This is the good news.
And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concerning me, and sooner or later it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Sooner or later,
turn in my favor.
Just lift your hands to the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
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 It's turning around for me. I can see
around for me.
I can feel it happen
around for me.
Around for me.
Around for me.
It's turning around, yeah.
It's turning around
for God, another man
for me.
That he should love nor the Son of Man.
Turning around.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.